I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up her vibration. She's giving me excitation.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can turn the lead in your life into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, the promoter-producer of the Rota Psychic Fair. And the Rota Psychic Fair has been a constant in Monterey County for the past 35 years. Our last fair was October 21st and 22nd, and our next event is October 13th and 14th at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. I encourage you to sign up for the email list on rotapsychicfair.com as well as goodvibrationsradio.com so you can be notified of upcoming events. Now, last week, I spoke about last Tuesday's new moon in Taurus and the move of Uranus out of Aries into Taurus, as well as other elements. If you missed any part of that broadcast, you may visit the podcast page of Good Vibrations Radio, and the link is on the homepage of the Good Vibrations Radio website. Before we get into the show, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm a speaker, a performer, a reader, a healer, a radio host, and an author. I've been a part of the metaphysical community all of my life, and my undergraduate and graduate degrees are in metaphysics. So this show shares a variety of metaphysical subjects shared by those who have explored the areas as well as introduced as topics for your further exploration. And for those who listen regularly, you know I like to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. In 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh. And he chose the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It was described by Allen as a book that will help you help yourself. Allen wanted all of us to know that in our own thought world, we hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters our lives. Your present reality is a direct outcome of your past thoughts, intentions, and beliefs. But your future is not predestined by your past. By working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, intentions, and beliefs, you can remake your life and transform your circumstances. In Day by Day with James Allen, his essay has been broken into a separate section for each day of the month. And for the 21st day of the month, James Allen shares, decide to grow. Decide to grow. Only by much searching and mining are gold and diamonds obtained. And a person can find every truth connected with his being if he will dig deep into the mine of his soul. So as he said, only by much searching and mining are gold and diamonds obtained. And a person can find every truth connected with his being if he will dig deep into the mind of his souls. He shares the classic story of the acres of diamonds, which was shared by Earl Nightingale in The Strangest Secret. And it's the story of a person who sold his home and land to travel far and wide in search of diamonds, only to die penniless. And as the story goes, the new owner discovered diamonds on the very property that the old owner had left and ignored. And as a matter of fact, that diamond mine became one of the most highly producing diamond mines in all of South Africa. So the story of the Acres of Diamonds is to stop seeking far and wide and outside of ourselves for the diamonds that already exist within. Decide to grow. A person can find every truth connected with his being if he will dig deep into the mine of his soul. And as James Rohn said, what you become directly influences what you get. I've shared many times that I have a series of prayers and affirmations that I use every day to help me focus on the positive and create that positive frame of mind. Now, in my case, in my life, I have a lot of reframing to have to do because I've had many years of practice the other way. But I do a morning and evening series of forgiveness prayers. I do a gratitude affirmation. I do Ho'oponopono. I do unconditional love affirmations, and I collect a positive thought from the daily word produced by the Unity School of Christianity. And the daily word for Monday, May 21st, says, I inspire and uplift others through my thoughtful words and gestures. See, people are always saying, what is my purpose in life? And for all of us, the answer is the same. Your purpose is to be of service to others. And you don't have to screw your noodle up tight to figure out, well, how do I do that? What do I do? See, you can be of service baking cakes, roofing houses, collecting trash, driving a bus, being a caregiver, being a school teacher, being a parent. There are many different ways to be of service. The issue is not, what is your purpose? The real question is, are you living your purpose? Are you engaged with your purpose in your life? Are you doing what fulfills your purpose in your life? Do you feel of service by what you do and how you're doing it? So as we go forward, let's remember that we decide to grow, and we inspire and uplift others through our thoughtful words and gestures. We're being of service. And that brings us to our segment host for today. Joyce Day Muse was born and raised in the Washington, D.C. area, where she developed an early interest in astrology. She learned all she could from books and observing friends and families and looking at their qualities and how that related to their signs. Upon moving to the Central Coast of California, she met a practicing astrologer who generously shared his knowledge with her. She also met an aura reader who taught classes based on the curriculum of the Berkeley Psychic Center. In 1980, Joyce was ordained as a metaphysical minister who could give readings, healings, and consultations. And since then, she has become a fixture at local psychic fairs. She's done thousands of readings. She's taught metaphysical and astrology classes to hundreds of people, and she's performed numerous weddings. She's hosted many radio shows over the air and specializes in quick on-the-spot readings as well as the longer, in-depth consultations. Joyce plans to continue to give readings and to be of service for those who need clarity, guidance, encouragement, and support for as long as she's able. And she joins us with her segment, Your Lucky Stars, on the third Monday each month from 5 to 6 p.m. So let's have a little musical introduction from Peter Muse to Joyce Day Muse and Your Lucky Stars.
We are the travelers on the road. We are the travelers on the road, drinking the sunshine, bathing the moonlight, guided by starlight, warmed by the glow of the heart of family, returning to their home, vanishing like the stars in the early morning dawn.
Well, Joyce, welcome to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you, Salazar. Thank you for such a wonderful introduction. Nice to be with you again.
It's always a pleasure.
And I guess what I was going to talk about is what you talked about last week.
Oh, well, I do the astrology light version of things.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. But Uranus and Taurus is the big deal. You know, Uranus entered the earthy sign of Taurus on the 15th, right on the new moon. So we're kind of in a new era of change. So I think we can see it happening around us. And one of the main indicators is that volcano in Hawaii. I mean, we expect big earth moves with Uranus entering the earth sign of Taurus. And that volcano's been erupting since before Uranus entered, but it's really gotten active. So it's exciting, dramatic, scary, all of those Uranus words. Uranus is the revolutionary. So when it changes signs, it makes its presence known right away. When it entered Aries 7 or so years ago, right at the time the Fukushima reactor, the earthquake hit at Fukushima and all that radioactive water poured into the ocean. So it's Uranus is very dramatic when she makes an entrance, or he or it or whatever. So that's kind of what's going on right now. And Uranus is the planet of high anxiety. So it's the opposite of being grounded, relaxed, secure, safe, all those nice words we like so much. But Uranus just likes to stir up the pot. And we're definitely getting our pot stirred, I must say. But a lot of other things going on, too. It's just that's the big deal. And I think it's going to affect all kinds of things. But since it's in the Venus-ruled Earth sign of Taurus, we can expect definite changes in relationships. And it's interesting, we started out the cycle with the royal wedding on Saturday. And that was kind of a beautiful distraction from the other things going on in the world. It was nice to look at pretty people doing pretty things and wearing pretty clothes. So, you know, a nice little escape into how the well-to-do live.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, very dramatic that, you know, the royal family now has a black princess. That was pretty revolutionary.
Yeah.
And good for them, you know, good for them handling it so well. So I think it's, you know, part of the shift in consciousness that we're seeing unfold with Uranus and Taurus. Now, it's a 7-year cycle, but it's not a direct 7-year cycle. We'll have Uranus and Taurus for the next 6 months. Then it'll retrograde back into Aries for a little foray back to where we were, until it comes back into Uranus in 2019 until 2025. So that's a big deal. I think it's an exciting big deal. And we had that new moon last Tuesday on the 15th, right as Uranus changed signs. So the new moon in Taurus, which, you know, Taurus is a favorite sign of mine, I think of a lot of people, just because it's Venus ruled and it has to do with love and beauty and the physical plane. It's very earthy. And, you know, it's just nice to enjoy this time of year. It's probably the most beautiful time of year in a lot of places, although they're getting tremendous weather on the East Coast, the Southeast. which is also part of this Uranus and Taurus, all the flooding and, you know, stuff that's going on back there. So volcanoes in Hawaii and flooding on the southeast. You know, I just feel so fortunate to live on a granite rock on the edge of the Pacific Ocean. But anything can happen.
That's right.
Earthquakes are not out of the running with Uranus and Taurus. I'm sure there'll be some. You know, we've already seen a big airplane crash in Cuba. So lots of stuff going on. But try to stay positive and forward moving. We're at the end of May, so we still have a full moon to come on the 29th. And the sun entered Gemini on Sunday. So we've moved out of Taurus, although we still have Mercury in Taurus and Uranus newly in Taurus. And Venus changed signs on Saturday, moved into Cancer. So we've got, you know, the usual movements of the planets. The sun moving into Gemini, I always like, because I consider Gemini one of, if not the most fun sign. You know, Geminis are curious, they're talkative, they're social, they know a little bit about everything, they're charismatic, they're funny. So planets moving through the sign of Gemini are extroverted and receptive to new ideas. They can talk to anybody. They're clever, quick-witted, multifaceted. They have an uplifting presence. So for the next month, we have the sun moving through Gemini. And, you know, we should make a point of enjoying the social aspect of things. Of course, Saturn's in Capricorn, so there's always heavy responsibilities to look at. And of course, the shooting on Friday in Texas was a stark reminder of the challenges we face here in this country because of guns. So I wonder if there'll come a point where we handle that in a better way. You know, we just can't have so many guns and not expect these kinds of things to happen. So I don't think it was the Ritalin.
No.
Like Oliver North said, you know, it is the culture of violence, and it's also the culture of guns. And, you know, we're not a cowboy country anymore. We have too many people for everyone to be packing heat, you know, that we've glorified in the movies and on television for all these years. But the reality is so much starker and different. So what's something positive we can talk about? Let's see. So we have the new moon in Taurus, and this week, today, we have a couple of moon aspects, and tomorrow is pretty active on the 22nd. Mercury will sextile Neptune and oppose Jupiter. So, Jupiter and Neptune are making, is it a sextile? No, it's a trine. So Jupiter and Scorpio, Neptune and Pisces are in a harmonious aspect with each other, which is on the surface a good thing, although Neptune is the planet of confusion and hypersensitivity. Jupiter is considered the lucky planet. So having those two planets together kind of amplifies our emotions since they're in water signs. And tomorrow Mercury is going to be aspecting both of them. So the mental planet of Mercury is in Taurus, and it's going to change signs on the 30th. But right now it's in Taurus, so, you know, good for earthy grounded communications. Sextile Neptune, people are more sensitive. You may find yourself being more sensitive than usual. a Mercury opposite Jupiter can be, expansive and inspiring, and we could use some inspiration. But it can also be, like Trump trying to muddy the waters so we don't look at what's going on with him. So distractions, deflections, those kinds of things are very Jupiter-Neptune oriented.
So are you saying that Mercury had an FBI informant on Jupiter?
Yes.
I'm just checking.
An informant.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to investigate Trump's campaign.
That's right.
Because he would never do anything wrong, would he?
No, absolutely not.
No. You know, I was looking at his chart today and just wondering when all the wheels are going to come off the car. And I hope it's sooner rather than later. But he's just got this Pluto opposition to his natal Saturn a year from now. So hopefully it won't take that long for him to be removed. But, I can just see him hanging on as long as possible and, scraping up as much money as he possibly can. It's just hard to believe we don't have the means to remove him from office.
We don't have the means when the majority party is an enabler.
Right.
That's part of our problem, is that the system is intended to have the checks and balances. They just aren't working because they're working with him. Not necessarily in all the things that will come out about him, but certainly in protecting him for the sake of getting a political advantage. I believe that if the Republican Party could repeal Roe v. Wade tomorrow, then they'd be happy to explore Donald Trump.
Right. I guess that's his ace in the hole. It's just hard to believe we're still stuck with all these issues. And then, the gun control issue too. But I did a chart for the shooting on Friday. And no surprises there. There was a exact Moon-Saturn opposition from the Moon in Cancer opposite Saturn in Capricorn. Both squared, not squared, but Mercury was involved with the Moon and with Saturn. So, and then Mars is squaring Uranus. Well, there's a big deal. Uranus changed signs and Mars changed signs. So they're in a perfect aspect of dynamic tension. And Mars Uranus is the astrological equivalent of sudden unexpected violence. I mean, it's an aspect you expect when there's some dramatic incident like we just saw. But it's like, people are so tired of having to deal with this. It's like, I guess everything just has to wait for the election in November so we can see some change, because we're not seeing any heroes in Congress.
No.
Standing up and sacrificing their money-making careers to do something for the country.
Yeah.
I guess there's a few people trying, but it's very discouraging.
Yeah.
But I guess it's all part of the USA having its Pluto return. I know I've said before we're at the equivalence of 1775, before the revolution. Before the revolution hit. So the USA is going to have its first Pluto return, and it's already within orb. And Pluto is endings and new beginnings, death and rebirth. And, maybe it's going to take a new constitution or some kind of dramatic change. I saw someone on TV saying that the founders of our system of government did not plan on a two-party system, you know, and it's this horrible split between the country, you know, right and left, that is really stymieing any opportunity to be a forward-moving, progressive country like we see in other places around the world. I mean, other forms of government, you know, have ways of representing the voices of their citizens in a much better way. Like in this country, 80% of the people want gun control. But all it takes is, you know, that 20% that want to hang on to their guns at all costs. They'd rather see the children die than, you know, give up their rights to have any old gun they want and be able to buy it any old way they want, you know, instead of, you know, having to even take a test like we do to get a driver's license.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked so many times about the ridiculousness of the way things are. But I guess, you know, that's what karma is. You know, we have our national karma and our national chart. And we have to go through our national transits. And I guess the best we can do is just work on ourselves and try to come to a higher consciousness.
Hmm.
I don't know. Get out the vote. So now we're in Gemini, so we can maybe have a more social time of it for a month, you know, and enjoy the benefits of this playful and fun-loving sign. So let's see what the calendar says. So Venus is opposing Saturn this week, and that's another challenging aspect. That when we had the shooting last Friday, it was Moon opposite Saturn. This coming Friday, we have Venus opposite Saturn. So Saturn in Capricorn, it's making its challenging presence known. The weekend looks pretty good. I don't see a lot of, well, the Moon's in Scorpio, but other than that, the Memorial Day weekend looks pretty good. And then Memorial Day itself, the moon goes into Sagittarius. Then we have the full moon on the 29th, and Mercury goes into Gemini. So that should be a nice full moon on the 29th.
Hmm.
And then let's look at June. What's coming up in June? You know, I just love the sound of the word of June. So Friday, June 1st, Venus trine Jupiter. That looks good for love and money. Mercury trines Mars. We'll have a lot to talk about. And then Saturday, Moon in Aquarius on June 2nd, and Venus trines Neptune, which is a really nice aspect for romantic love and creative expression. So let's see, and then we have a difficult little aspect on June 5th when Venus opposes Pluto. So we can expect some power struggles and some relationship angst. Wednesday, June 6th, Mercury squares Neptune, so a good aspect for miscommunication and a little confusion and hypersensitivity. And the Sun also squares Neptune that night, Wednesday night. So Neptune is a mixed bag. All the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, can elevate, can inspire, but can also create challenges and difficulties. And with Neptune, mental clarity is the challenge. You know, there's so much opportunity for fantasy and seeing what we want to see rather than what's really there. The rest of that first week in June looks pretty good. Not seeing any red flags. And then Mercury goes into Cancer on June 12th. So that'll bring out the sensitivities and emotional feelings a little more. And then Venus goes into Leo, and we have a new moon on the 13th of June. So the new moon in Gemini, great time for a party. Mercury sextiles Uranus. People will be bright and sharp and curious and innovative. And Venus going into Leo, we're all going to want a little extra attention. Then Flag Day, June 14th. So Venus squares Uranus. Those fantasy-based relationships will probably end on the 14th.
Well, you know what they say? About 50%. About 50% of people have their relationships online, and the other 50% have them with real people. So.
Well, I'm about 50-50. And let's see. So the new moon in June on the 13th, that's looking pretty good. And then the summer solstice. Well, there's a big deal. Let's see the chart for the summer solstice. The solstices and equinoxes, all really, really important, because that's how we kind of, that's kind of the calendar of the year. So let me find, here's the summer solstice, June 21st at, well, it's 3:08 a.m. Pacific time, 6:08. East Coast time. So what's interesting about the equinox, the spring equinox and the summer solstice have a couple matching planets. So on the spring equinox on March 20th, Neptune was at the midheaven, which is another image of the potential for duplicity, deflection, confusion, mental chaos. Look over here, don't look at what's really going on over there. And then Saturn on the seventh house cusp, which is challenging relationships. And that's repeated on the summer solstice. So we've got 6 months of duplicitous Neptune and challenging Saturn. So the summer solstice chart is the same. So the sun goes into Cancer, opposing Saturn and Capricorn. So when the sun's in Cancer, the first 10 days it'll be opposing Saturn, and then the last 10 days it'll be opposing Pluto. So we're not going to have an easy June.
Okay.
I mean, it might be easy, but relationships are challenging.
Okay.
So not that they aren't always, but more challenging than usual.
Mm-hmm.
So the summer solstice chart doesn't look too easy, but it does look like the potential for fun. So maybe the next 4 months, we don't need to make relationships the center of attention. You know, relationships are more difficult than usual. And that goes for all kinds of relationships, your romantic relationships, your friendships, your relationships with clients, your relationship with the public. There's just going to be this edge of difficulty in most of our relationships. Well, that's not a happy forecast.
No, that doesn't speak to a pleasant summer.
We're almost better off, you know, group activities and group entertainment you know, not trying to make too much of romantic relationships.
Hmm.
And I must say, I did the charts of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, and I don't think they're going to have an easy time of it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, they had a nice wedding, but there's not much keeping them together except a lot of challenges and hard work and power struggles.
Hmm.
So, I don't know what to say. You know, you want to see any young couple thrive. And there's such a archetypal symbol of change, but on a personal level, doesn't look too good.
That's too bad.
So I think it's, you know, it's going to be hard for her to be a royal when she's had the freedom of being an American television star.
Mm.
And I'm sure she'll enjoy being in the spotlight. But Harry is a triple earth sign, and Meghan is a Leo.
Ooh.
So they don't have a lot of compatibility. And not all relationships have to be wonderfully compatible. But, you know, being in a fishbowl, I think it would be easier if they did have a really solid connection. And, you know, Harry looks like a solid guy that's going to want to do the right thing all the time, triple earth. So, I mean, he could hang in there, happy or not. But hard to say if she will. But it's a big platform, and she'll get to be a fashion icon, and she'll enjoy that. And maybe not every relationship is supposed to last forever.
Yeah,
so
wonderful.
We'll see what happens. They're not compatible in Western astrology. They're not compatible in Chinese astrology.
Huh.
So they've got their work cut out for them. But at least they'll look good. Isn't that
I think
all
that's
that matters?
So unusual that they're that incompatible. So.
Yeah, well, they both have a lot of fire, so they both like to be in the spotlight, although maybe him less than her. And they do have a nice Venus. His Venus is in Libra, and she's a Libra. Or she's got a Libra moon.
Hmm.
She's got four planets in Libra.
Okay.
And then her Venus is in Virgo, and he's a Virgo. So that's kind of nice. Maybe that'll save them.
Yeah.
Although Harry's very earthy. Meghan, not so much. She only has one earth planet.
Hmm.
Meghan has four planets in the social air element. Harry just has one.
Hmm.
Harry has two water signs, and Meghan has one.
Hmm.
So they're good on fire, not so good on earth, not so good on air, and neither one of them has a lot of water. So, and he's a rat, she's a rooster. So, we'll see. You know,
well,
I know some people aren't meant to have an easy relationship, and they can even thrive on the challenges of a difficult relationship. For some people, if it's too easy, it's not good.
Mm.
But I don't know if I've ever seen an easy relationship. And Harry's got an out-of-bounds Mars, which means he's really high energy, and he can be really assertive. And Meghan has an out-of-bounds Mars, too.
Ooh.
So they both have Mars in an extreme state of high energy. So maybe that's a good thing, because they'll both vibrate at a high level. But, you know, I mean, it's all for our entertainment, isn't it? Life
has
its challenges, so we don't get bored.
But I agree with what you said.
Bored.
I don't think I think it's a misnomer and a mistake that people believe relationships are supposed to be some magical element. I still believe in that one quote I shared that said, a perfect relationship is two imperfect people who don't give up on each other.
Well, that's true.
And that's what it's all about. And as you know, and as you share all the time, we grow through being stretched. We don't grow through being able to just stay where we are. We're supposed to actually be stretched and challenged in some way. And I think that's the one element. It's almost indefinable if the people are willing to stretch with each other. It's not about what vows they make. It's if their inner makeup will allow them to do that.
Right.
So I wish them well, though. I wish them well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I think they'll be fine. You know, all the money in the world helps. You know, it's not like they're going to want for anything.
Mm.
You know, and, you know, I mean, maybe they'll stay together like their grandparents did, you know, or his grandparents anyway.
Yeah.
You know, Elizabeth's such a Taurus, so steady and stable, and, you know, she's hung in there forever.
But do you know what Philip is?
What his sign is?
Yes.
No.
All right, that's all right.
Look it up. But we're just going to have, is it Queen Victoria's birthday, May 24th, the Queen's birthday?
Yes.
You know, she was a Gemini, and she stayed married. You know, in those days, people didn't live that long, so it was easier.
It was easier to stay married, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, her beloved Albert.
She's only good for about another year, so I'll stick with
you. Yeah. You know, funny. And you hear all the gossip.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I'm glad we have the royal family to spy on and gossip about. I mean, what would we do? I mean, you just can't focus on Donald Trump forever. Although he's quite the archetypal evil Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just can't wait till Pluto hits him. You know? I mean, I think it's going to be really fun to watch his downfall. And it's like we get an episode every day. It is the longest running reality show that is on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I just wish he was more attractive and fun to look at. But I guess we need our evil villains to make the whole soap opera work. You know, it just feels unfair, but life isn't fair.
When I came across, I was at a conference on Saturday all day, long day.
Oh.
And one of the keynotes was really saying that, you know, that there are seven qualities that people, I'm using the term qualities, it may be the wrong term, but essentially there are seven traits or qualities that people who find success are in follow. But then he said that there's an eighth, he said, many people don't want to talk about. And he said, we need an enemy. We all need someone or something to oppose. Because it's that negative motivation can be the positive motivation to keep us working toward what we want by having something to oppose.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought that was interesting. I've never heard that before, never thought much about it.
Well, it's similar to dynamic tension. You know, if we didn't have Saturn, you know, we wouldn't have gravity. We wouldn't have structure.
Mm.
You know, if we weren't capable of starving to death, we wouldn't get out there and hustle.
You know,
I think it's
go
true.
Ahead, I'm sorry.
No, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, and on Bill Maher 2 weeks ago, one of the things they pointed out, they were talking again about, you know, if Hillary had been elected or whatever. And one of the people actually said, it was a male, but he said, but look at this. He said, we would not have the Me Too movement today if Hillary had gotten elected. It's really an outcome of the election that we had. And so that's the idea, again, like you're talking, the dynamic tension. Sometimes we need that tension, that stress, that pressure, that enemy right in our face in order for us to finally get off the couch and take action.
Right. Right. Yeah, we need Saturn. We need Mars. Even though they're difficult and challenging, you know, I guess every lifetime needs its obstacles to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a psychic student, they used to talk about rest lives, that there's a few people on the planet that are having a rest life. And I always liked that concept. Not that I've had one, but not this time anyway.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to have a life where everything fell into place and things worked out and, you know, struggle wasn't so intense and health was always good and money was always flowing. You know, I guess it's all attitude, isn't it? You know, how we think about things. You know, sometimes I feel sorry for myself that I have to live during the time of Trump. But I lived through Nixon and survived.
I feel more bad that Trump is living in my life.
Right.
I didn't invite you in.
Yeah.
But you are right. But you look at it, you lived through the 60s. That was even before, you know, the bits before Nixon. You lived through the 60s. You lived through Nixon, you know, and then you actually, even the 70s were tumultuous after Nixon was stepped down. I mean, the gas lines. The 80s were a disconcerting time because they were like the veneer on top of the rotten wood. You know, and I don't think we realized it. And they clearly, the 80s, led us really into what we faced in this century. You know, we lived through the 80s. The 90s were the constant attacks on Clinton. And then, boom, now here we are, you know, longest running war in the history of our country. You know, in Afghanistan. And so much going on that's just never been a quiet time. So if somebody's had a restful life during this or a life of rest, in some cases, I think it's because they're disengaged as well. Because I don't know how you could be engaged and have a life of rest. Just my opinion.
Right. Well, you could climb into a monastery out in the deep, dark mountains and try to escape the world, but I was thinking about these kids that got killed on Friday and all the shootings and all of our children that have been murdered. And thinking back on the 60s when we had, you know, JFK and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King and 1980 John Lennon. I mean, all of our heroes seemed to be shot down, and there seemed to be something about some kind of sacrifice for, I don't know if it's the greater good or just the way things go. And now it's not our leaders, it's our children.
Yeah.
You know, children in schools being shot because of our cultural, societal shortcomings and stupidity. Well, they say there's been more kids killed in schools in 2017 than were killed in the wars and Iraq and Afghanistan. So it's just, you know, it's like these human sacrifices. It just seems so wrong. Just so wrong. But I guess it's the world we have, it's the life we have. And then I think about the karma of the USA and all the wars and regime change we participated in, since World War II, and, you know, maybe this is the karmic retribution. I don't know, it's, you know, almost too much to grok or grasp or understand.
Well,
you know, but we have it.
Go ahead.
I was just, you know, what is it that we lost so many good leaders and now we're stuck with bad leaders?
Somebody shared with me last week that they were not necessarily defending Trump, but they were just saying, you know, Trump's not the only president that lied. You know, all of them have lied and this. And I told him, I said, I think there's a difference in that. What I believe is evident now, maybe it was evident to others before, but it's evident to me now anyway, is that the United States is an ideal. It's an ideal of rights and options and abilities and a way of life that we strive to live up to. But we've never been there.
Right.
And the problem is that the people in power now don't strive for those ideals.
No.
They're just a punchline that they tell people they're getting, but they have no intentions of trying to do that. They're doing what the powerful have always done. They're taking, because that's what the
right.
powerful have always done. And so I agree that Trump lying is not new, even for any president, but his intention behind his lyings are very different to most of the presidents in my lifetime, like Eisenhower, who had ideals, he had principles. Whether somebody
right.
agreed with them or not didn't matter. Kennedy had principles, whether somebody agreed with them or not didn't matter. Johnson had principles. Carter had principles. Ford had principles. Even Reagan had principles. I don't agree with most of it, but he had a principle that set of foundations that he operated from, whether you agree with him or not.
You know, right.
Trump is the only one that really is just about operating for himself.
Well, he's like our first con man president that I know
sure.
of.
Sure. P.T. Barnum's been elected to the White House.
Right. Right.
You know,
and he's so openly flaunting the law out in wide open public.
Yeah, all because the Republican Party is complicit.
Right.
They codependently, as the majority party, support him doing these things without holding him accountable. And they are part of the accountability built into the Constitution, and they're failing to act.
Right. Well, it's like we don't have leaders of principle these days.
Well, certainly, and we certainly don't have one at the CIA, Gina Haspel being approved.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You know, we've essentially said to the world, we'll let our people torture, cover it with law, then take it away from them, but still promote them because they did what we asked.
Right.
So, I don't know. You're absolutely correct. We don't have people of strong principle that are standing up and speaking out. But I still believe we're coming to a tipping point. And I don't believe it's a tipping point where they will win. The forces of darkness. I believe they're
right.
going to lose. But we haven't fully come to our tipping point yet. But we will.
Yeah. We will. Yeah. And I see it in the planets. I see it in Pluto approaching Trump's chart. You know, Saturn and Pluto are going to conjunct in an opposition to his chart in 2020. So, I mean, maybe the downfall will be worth waiting for.
Well, you know? I would just like all the king's horses and all the king's men not be able to put Orange Cheeto back together again.
I know. I know.
I'd like him to fall hard, and I'd like his little personal empire to be destroyed in the process. I really feel that. I'm sorry for those listening that I just don't have a spiritual approach to that. I just don't. So Joyce, anything else you'd like us to know as we make this journey through May into June? And anything else you'd like to share about anything that you're up to?
I'm not up to that much these days, just doing my readings and looking at the planets and trying to stay healthy and trying to enjoy life, especially now that the sun's in Gemini.
Yeah.
And it can be a more social time. And I think even though there's a lot of darkness around, I think you're right. We have to believe that the light is going to prevail and we will get back to a place of balance. You know, and it certainly makes me appreciate what we have had in the past and will probably have again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we have to get to a crisis point to reshuffle the deck in order to come up with solutions. I mean, what this administration has shown us is that you have to make laws solid and not just count on leaders being ashamed of bad deeds because we've got a leader that doesn't care, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to do this again for a long time.
Well, I mean, probably at least a generation or two.
Yeah.
Generations, yeah.
It's been 50 years since Nixon.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get another run of better luck.
I hope so. I do hope so.
Well, thank you for having me, Solazar. And
it's always a pleasure.
I think we have to stay optimistic.
And how do you want people to get in touch with you?
They can use the telephone at 831-236-6572. 831-236-6572. Or you can find me on Facebook at Pacific Astrology. Joyce Muse, Pacific Astrology. And looking forward to good times ahead.
Well, thanks so much, Joyce. Thanks for all you do and all you share. It really is a pleasure to be able to talk to you on these shows. I really appreciate it. So thanks so much. So I want to remind folks, once again, you can connect to Joyce Muse by going to Pacific Astrology on Facebook. You can also link to her by going to using the link on the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com. So get your personal reading also as we go through. You know, we're talking about some of this stuff seems dark and maybe hopeless. It may not be hopeless for you in your life in the area where you really have control. So have a session with Joyce and find out. You know, on Friday, March 30th, we held the quarterly preview with the astrology, numerology, and wisdom of the tarot for April, May, and June. We shared the energy of 2018 as well as the detail about the months of April, May, and June. And at that time, I drew the card, the Seven of Rainbows, from the Osho Zen Tarot deck as the card for May 2018. And the title of this card is Patience. This card reminds us that everything has a cycle. And this is the time to be patient. Existence waits for the right moment. And we've often in our modern world forgotten how to wait. We want everything in a hurry. We want everything now. This is the time to be alert, to be patient, and wait. Don't overrun everyone in pursuit of your dreams. Enjoy the mystery and wait. Be ready for the new discoveries and accomplishments. Be patient. We sow what we reap. And remember, this Chinese year of the brown earth dog will bring success in those areas where you take prudent, honest action. Be patient, be prudent, be cautious. Definitely take action. As we close, I want to once again share the anonymous poem from Empower Astrology. In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. And I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. No matter how hard the world pushes against you, within you, there there's something stronger, something better pushing right back. Whatever you give, do so from your heart. Do your daily practice of gratitude by saying, thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Choose to express from love in all of your encounters. I live and practice loving kindness in all situations. Accept yourself fully. I accept and love myself unconditionally. Open yourself fully to love using this affirmation, I surrender all to love. And express and heal your self-love by doing Ho'oponopono. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Open to your inner shaman by being non-judgmental, by being in balance, and by holding all experiences as sacred. You are not the victim. You have a choice. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. As you journey through June, remember at the end of June, we'll have another quarterly preview on June 29th at the Monterey Elks Lodge. So sign up for that email list on rhodapsychicfair.com or goodvibrationsradio.com so you can be informed. And Good Vibrations Radio will be back again Monday, May 28th from 5 to 6 p.m. when I'll speak with Karen Noh, author of We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace, produced by Hay House. As a medium, Karen has collaborated with a collection of guides on the other side, including Dr. Wayne Dyer and St. Francis of Assisi, to bring forth vital information for humanity on how to achieve heaven on earth today. Karen will share how the 33 concepts in the book are the keys to experiencing the divinity within you. Until next week, remember to turn the lead in your life into gold. Thank you for listening. Many blessings. Namaste. Good.